And it's been so goddamn hot here at the El Pacifico that the cat's Pancho is sleeping on the front balcony. We got a balcony off the front of the house. It's not, we're not living here at Tara, but we have a little balcony that goes off of a sunroom that's near our billiard room. Anyway, I'm kidding, but there's a little balcony there, and we have two elevated chairs, and Pancho has taken to sleeping out there at night, which is kind of a normal thing to do, you know, it's when there's no air conditioning, and there is no fucking air conditioning in this house. The part that really, I can't believe I didn't know that or didn't notice it. I have no air conditioning unit here at this house, and that apparently is normal. Every house here at the El Pacifico just steps away from the sand has no air conditioning because the smart thinking is you don't need it. Well, bullshit. You know, two summers. Now, last summer it was hot around August. It's pretty nice. Now we're in late September. It's almost October. It's a fucking blazing ass hot, and it's humid too. It's the shit heat, man. The worst fucking heat. Humidity. Why can't it go the other way, man? Why can't there be like dry heat? You know, because there is a difference. Some people don't know what that is, but I do, and I know the difference. I know what it feels like. And this guy's Colonel Porcher Taylor, Korean War veteran. I know exactly what dry heat feels like as opposed to fucking, humid heat. And humid heat is what I'm feeling right now. It's the air is heavy. And dry heat, it feels like there's more air or there's more oxygen around you, even though it's, blistering hot. Humidity, as if the actual flow of oxygen is compromised somehow. Like you're covered in a blanket or something. You know, it's one thing to be hot. It's another thing to be hot and covered with some kind of nasty goddamn covering, and that's humidity. Well, what do you mean by hot? Have you been in a sauna? Anybody ever been in a sauna? You know what a sauna is, right? That's just a dry heat, enclosure. Going on here. I'm charging my phone a little bit because I need Kenny Slag sound effects tonight. Just a lot of shit. You know, we went to this whole transition work-wise, company-wise, beginning in August. It really hasn't ended because we're going to begin a major, major project here with relative to the website. And those of you that are Backstage Pass members, those of you who have been with us for a long time, you're going to really dig it. And we went through a redesign. What was it? 2014 into 2015. So 2 years ago. And then before 2014, it was 2011. Yeah. 2012, actually. 2012. So every 2 years, and then before that, it was around 2009. However, from 1999 until 2009, 10 fucking years, the site really stayed pretty static. I mean, there were different features and things like that, but it was pretty much the same site. And so every 2 or 3 years, we've been dropping a redesign on this thing. And then my brother dying. And, it's just been one goddamn thing after. And I know, I practice Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism. And sometimes and when I say practice, I do mean practice. As in, I don't call myself a Buddhist. I practice at it. I don't think anybody should call themselves a Christian unless they're just like fucking Jesus. Call yourself a Christian. You say you're practicing Christianity. But say you're a Christian, well, you're Jesus then. I'm not talking about walking on water. I'm saying you are doing everything that he said to do. Well, I haven't met one of those yet. So, you know the old saying, don't bullshit a bullshitter, right? Don't you dare do that. But Buddhism has, of the many things that I like about it, it says, basically, you never give up. And that no matter what, you have what it takes, the tools, to conquer it. Nothing can upset you and nothing can defeat you. That's Buddhism. At its greatest, I mean, that's what I think its greatest tenet is, you know. I mean, I've westernized it, but... And it's really, it's tested me, man. Because, but I know that's what this is, you know? I mean, every time good things are in the offing, shit gets really hard. Every time good things are about to happen, shit gets... Ain't that the truth? I'm just kind of hanging and banging here with this phone. I'm charging my phone, so I have some charge time on it. Fuck is this guy doing? Oh. What are these guys doing? I'm watching Central Michigan and Virginia. Is this game? No, this is a tape. This is from last weekend. 49-35. Central Michigan is staying with, and I would say that that's staying with, Central Michigan.
In combat theaters 4 or 5, even 6 times in such small amount of time. What can we do to take the burden off of these service members and also at the same time increase the number of citizens that serve our country?
Well, first of all, it's good. It's great to see you. Each time I see him, his arms are a little bigger. Those are some guns, man. It's just one of the things that has been most satisfying as president.
He's talking about a young guy, Iraq War veteran, who lost his legs, but he's got these big fucking arms, you know.
Along the way, the folks at Walter Reed, the folks at Belvoir and other facilities around the world, just incredible.
You guys ever see Lincoln? See a movie Lincoln? Lincoln, there's a great scene in Lincoln where he goes and President Lincoln goes to the Army hospital there in Washington, D.C. to visit the wounded, you know. And Daniel Day-Lewis is just outstanding. I mean, he just brings reality to the part. And he walks in, there he is, Abraham Lincoln, takes his hat off. He says, well, let's find out. He says, first thing I want to ask you guys, are you getting everything you need? You know, this is what he asked him. And it's a pivotal scene because with him is Robert, played by, forgive me, I forget the actor. He's a great actor, very good actor, really good actor. Joseph, he was really terrific. He's really terrific. And it's a pivotal scene because he's there and Robert is there and Robert's home from school. And Robert wants to serve. He wants to get into uniform. He wants to be in the uniform of the United States Army. He wants to be like every other young man at that time, you know, serving the country in the Civil War. So, and his father and mother forbid it. And because his old man's the president of the United States, well, that pretty much is the capper on that. But they have an argument. And he says to his dad, Robert says to Abraham Lincoln, he says, I'm not you, Dad. He says, Pa, as he called him, I'm not you, Pa. He says, I can't be you. Not everybody can be you. Meaning, I'm not Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln is this giant that the country is now, you know, it was funny, 4 years before, he was just another fucking hayseed out of Kentucky and a lot of bad things. Now the whole country is leaning on him. He's the guy, you know. And his father, Abraham Lincoln, says to him, son, I love you, you know. And he tries to mollify him a little bit. He tries to say, he's not being a hard ass about it. He's saying to him, you know, we love you, and we there's more important things for you to do, for even for this country than, you know. And he puts his hand on his son's face in a gesture of love, and it's slapped away. And that's when Robert walks away, and he turns and he says to him, I'm not you, meaning it's easy for you to say that. You're Abraham fucking Lincoln, you know. But I'm nobody, is what he was saying. I'm just nobody, you know. I'm Robert Lincoln. I'm the son of the president. That doesn't mean anything. And I got to do something to feel like I'm, you know. It's terrific. It's a great scene. And coming as it does during a visit to the Army hospital where these other young men are in a bad way, you know. And here's Robert Lincoln. Like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm some dandy living in the White House with his father, the president, his mother, the first lady, and his little teeny brothers. And I'm going off to school, and I got this privileged life. And I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to be that. You know, and Robert Lincoln, the real Robert Lincoln, went on to serve in a lot of different capacities in the United States. I think at one time he was an ambassador, and another time he was the secretary of, he might have been the secretary of war. I could have this wrong, but I believe he was in the cabinet, served in the cabinet of at least one president, and was a philanthropist and the things that you, I guess you'd expect that somebody of note in those days, especially, you know, would do. But I don't know what made me think about that, but looking at that, the guy on TV there with the prosthetic legs and, you know. Walt Whitman said, and this is a really heavy thing, quote about the Civil War. Walt Whitman said, no, we'll never be able to tell people, really, what this was like. Now, Walt Whitman had... not only was he a great poet, a great writer, great sensitivity toward people, but he had a little bit of a, he had a kind of a seer thing going on. He could look into the future a little bit. You know, if you've ever read that poem of his where he's standing on the ferry and he's going across the East River and he's watching the water. He's leaning on the railing and he's watching the water race by. How many times have we done this? Any of us who've ever spent time on boats, you look at the water and you see it racing by. It's a hypnotic thing. And in the poem he says, I know, no matter when you read this, you will be refreshed by this as I am now. You will be standing on the bow of this boat as I am now, and you will see this water going by me, or going by you. Anyway, Whitman said he worked in the hospital. He was a nurse during the Civil War. And said, we'll never really be able to tell people. Never really. Now, you and I think, well, come on. I mean, the wars have been described over and over and over again. We've seen photographs of wars. You know, but, and maybe he was speaking from a sense that during his time, there were certain prescriptions against language, certain things you couldn't say, certain things you couldn't write about. But I don't think he was talking about that, because you can sit down friend to friend and talk to somebody. Maybe he was saying, I will never be able to really put this as I would want to into a poem or into any of my writings because it wouldn't get published. I don't know. But something about what he said leads me to believe in my heart of hearts, he means it literally. We won't be able to find the words. We'll never be able to find the words. We won't be able to really tell people what we live through here. And if you think about it, he was a nurse in a hospital, and that is a harrowing thing when wounded men and women are coming in who've been viciously wounded. There's pain, and there's exposed internal organs, and there's flesh, and there's blood, and there's deformity. There's mutilation, and every kind of emotion. What is that? That's hell. That's hell. You know. So anyway, I grew up, I was in high school in the 60s. I went to junior college in the early 70s, got my career going in the early 70s. During that period of time, there was a resurgence or a renaissance when it came to poetry, especially the beatniks, the Beats. But there was the honor, they all honored Walt Whitman. Whitman, Yeats, I want to say C.S. Lewis, you know, and Whitman was for sure a big influence of the Beats. And if you read Walt Whitman's poems, you swear to God you're reading a piece of Beat poetry, because he wasn't so much interested in rhyming as he was in the vivid, vivid use of words. Really, really vivid, you know. Photographing something with words. That's what I... And not just photographing it physically, photographing its interior, you know, its emotional interior. That's what Walt Whitman did, you know. I'm getting really heavy here, but I guess this is sort of what I needed to do. I don't want to look at the fucking... I got the rodeo on here, man. I'm not into that shit.
She's got to be somebody's baby. She must be somebody's baby.
The David Ortiz era. Oh, I saw that. That was pretty good. NASL soccer. North American Soccer League? Is that still around? I remember the NASL in the 70s. We actually went to the Aztecs. That was our team. We had two teams in California, in Southern California. The California Surf down in Anaheim. And the LA Aztecs, who played in the Rose Bowl for a period. And we actually had a soccer game of media versus Hollywood celebrities, some shit like that, before a LA Aztec game. I remember the celebrities. One of them was Bo Svenson, the big dude from Walking Tall, and another was that German actor that we see every... he's in the soap operas now. I don't know his name. He used to be on a show called The Rat Patrol. He played the German, you know, played the German you know, officer. But now he's on the soaps. He was on that team. Let's see who else. I don't know. And I was a part of a bunch of L.A. radio guys, you know. We got our ass kicked. We got our asses kicked because in acting, you're going to have a lot of international people, a lot of people who, you know, probably played soccer. And we didn't know fucking soccer. I think Mario Machado was on their team. No, he was on our team. I forget. Mario's a guy here in L.A. All right, man. I'm going to go and get... open up another Coca-Cola. I'll be right back, man, you know. What's this? Is this a football team, or is this a... Oh, it's a... The Phoenix Rise. It's just a weightlifting team? Look at that guy. How many freaking hernias a week? It's the Phoenix Rise. I think their logo should be a... I'm sorry, shouldn't say, but I think their logo should be like some dude's got a tent going. Grid most valuable player, that's what it says. What does that mean? I don't know. How did we get this way? I don't know how we did. What movie? Godfather? How do we get this way? I don't know. That's what they're having, the big sit down with all the bosses. After Sonny gets killed and Vito himself is, they try to kill him. The Phoenix Rise. I could give a fuck about it. Do you guys care about watching cats lifting weights and shit? You hear a guy just scream and his leg just comes apart like Joe Theismann's on Monday Night Football, just the wrong way. What? Oh, the surge and the rise. Everything has to do with surging, rising. Oh, see, then they have mixed doubles. Is one of these teams called the Bulge? Just the Thickening. Well, this is the Denver Thickening, or the Denver Thick. And what do you got here, Bob? Well, I'll tell you, the Miami Pipe, you know, and finally, guy, just we've had some complaints. Is that dancing?
Two, three, four, six, ten.
Well, it looks to me like the rise is on the rise. Wouldn't you agree? I would. The surge. If it's the Sacramento Surge, I'm going to call a foul because every surge team I've ever heard of is from Sacramento. If it is indeed the Sacramento Surge, I'm calling a 15-yard penalty. Loss of down for bullshit on the field.
Whee!
They should have music to this. I hope they do. They're really into this, doing these jerks, or whatever it's called. Is that a? And then this little Teutonic jig. The Phoenix, Miami Surge. Okay, thank God. Seems to me you don't want to talk about it. All right, well, I'd love to continue with this dog shit. I say that with great affection, but we have to now begin our show. Now. What's today, Wednesday? Okay, Tuesday. Today. Monday, that's right. Today. One, two, three. No, one, two, three, four.
What?
Tuesday. What's today, man? Wednesday or goddamn fucking... Today's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday. So we've had three shows. Wednesday, Monday. Here we go. It's Phil Henry. All of the voices, all of the people... Wait a minute. People that you hear on our podcast today... will all be performed by me. There's just me. I'm sitting Monday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday. Okay. So this is Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday. Sitting here in a studio. All right. So that means then yesterday. At DraftKings.com, you don't need to come in first place to cash in. The player who... That was Tuesday, then yesterday. Stand by. All right, so I have one. Okay, two, three, four, five, right. This show is for Thursday. Because today's Wednesday. All right, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I fucking got it. I got the light. I got the light. I did an audition today for a Marvel character. I'm not going to say who, because that would be divulging shit. Ah, but it was fun. All right.
It is a
Jordan
big day for basketball as Anton Miller is getting ready to sign a $1 billion contract with the Cincinnati Sabres.
Sir, and then I just need 11 more right here, so it's going to be...
I'm old enough to remember when the Cincinnati Royals played. You know, they are now the Sacramento Kings. But at one time, they were the Cincinnati Royals. And Jerry Lucas, Oscar Robertson, they were a good team. A good fucking basketball team, man. It's too bad they couldn't hang out in Kinky Natty. Because when they were there, they had some great fucking players.